Positive Chats Podcast on with you for Wednesday, June 15th, 9:37. On with us, Dana Candler. Dana, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Great to be with you.
Thanks for being on this morning. It's always a lot of fun when we get different authors and different people in from different parts of the country. How's life right now in Kansas?
Life is great in Kansas City, Missouri.
It's one time zone or two behind us.
Yeah, you tell me.
I don't know. So it's 9:38 for us. Probably, I'm guessing, 8:38.
So 8:30. All right,
cool.
You got it.
Well, you know what? We lived an hour longer than you. It's been a great day so far. So you have something to look forward to.
Well, that's so good to hear.
Jeez. Hey, so you wrote a book recently. It's called First Love, Keeping Passion for Christ in a World Growing Cold. And you know what? I think there's so much in this because doesn't it seem like the more you live, the farther you go into life, the more easily influenced we can sometimes become. We sort of float where the water goes. We kind of hop in the river and go.
How do you maintain
that passion for Christ when it feels like there's so much reason to kind of turn away?
Right. Yeah, so many things, the difficulties, the troubles that we don't expect. You know, it can lead to disillusionment and despair. But Jesus and the Word of God promises that actually He is leading us to a vibrant, abundant love. And so we don't have to believe that our trajectory is weariness and heaviness, but actually that He wants to stir the fire of our love and passion and to keep it all the days of our lives till the day we see His face.
You make it very clear in your book about basically reinvigorating that contagious joy.
Yes. And again, we have to look at Jesus. Like, when we see Him, He is the most joyful man alive. You know, the oil of gladness above all His companions, Psalm 45 says. And so we don't have to lose our joy. Rather, by His Spirit, we can have a joy that's contagious to the world around us as we gaze upon Him, as we converse with Him in prayer. He will stir that joy in us.
It's possible to kind of get mixed in with wrong relationships and we felt things we thought was love. It ended up not being that. How do we know what that feels like and how do we maintain it?
Yeah. Well, love is born of God, right? And so we know, first of all, by the Word of God, what it looks like. You know, Jesus spelled out what love looks like. Sometimes we interpret love based on our feelings, which can have overlap with our relationship and things we've known in the past. But the surprise, I think, to some of us is sometimes love carries qualities that are painful. I mean, one of the most specific qualities of first love and of the love that Jesus wants from us is this desire and this aching and this hungering for God. That kind of thing cannot be produced by ourselves. And so I think one of the key qualities we want to look for is hunger and yearning for more of Him. And if we don't have that, the Lord wants to stir that in us.
We're on right now with Dana Chandler. She lives in Kansas City with her husband, Matt, and their four kids. They serve as leadership team for International House of Prayer. And she's also a speaker, a Bible instructor at International House of Prayer University. And ultimate passion is to see the church fully aware and a deep love for Jesus. Is there an event that triggered this?
There was. It tells my story. Because there I am, and my heart is bogged down under all the things we were talking about, just that heaviness and despair and confusion. And I'm looking at Revelation 2, where Jesus says to the church at Ephesus, return to first love. And this is what I command. I want first love. And I'm going, Jesus, we have a problem. My heart does not carry right now. I if I'm honest, I can't say that those qualities of first love, which we all know first love, like we know it intuitively, we know it in relationships, we know what it looks like when there's that open-hearted trust and joy and excitement and that full givenness without any hesitation. And I'm looking, so to speak, into the eyes of the Lord going, you've got to help me. There's a gap between my experience right now and what your word says and what you are asking for. And so I was brokenhearted in one sense, but in the other, on the other side, I felt so much hope because every command of God is a promise of His grace. And I knew that if he's saying, keep first love, he's saying, I will give you every grace. Come after me. Come near to me. You will find the grace to walk in this. And so that was the trigger. The trigger was, it wasn't, I could see I was no longer carrying those qualities of first love. And my heart was torn by the word of God, which said it's possible and it's available to every believer.
Dana, how is it possible? What do you think happens in the mind of a believer? Because we run down to the altar and you're like, God, we're in this. And then Wednesday rolls around and you start to find yourself kind of teeter just a little bit. Some people have that desire like you, and they just charge after it and they go after it. And they read the same Bible. They read the same verses. And then some people get a thirst quenched, and then others are just kind of like, eh.
I think it's so key that we continually look at the word of God and believe that what he says is true, and believe that if he's calling us to that, he will give us grace. And I think it's easy for us to assume that these kinds of trajectories of waned passion or I've lost my hunger, that they're okay, because we look at our circumstances and we feel, you know, kind of vindicated, like there's a reason that I am where I am. But we actually have to let the word of God be over us, so to speak, and be humble. It's a humility to say, Jesus, actually, there's a gap here, and I need you to restore it. And so I think the Lord's calling his church and every believer to the word of God, to stare at it, to wrestle with it, and to not be okay until we're walking out what the Lord says is biblical Christianity.
We're on with Dana Chandler, and she's a speaker and Bible instructor at International House of Prayer University. The book is called First Love, Keeping Passion for Jesus in a World Growing Cold. In that coldness of world, what takes that love from us?
We truly have an adversary. We have, you know, one that's called the accuser, and he accuses night and day. And then there's accusation that comes in the mouths of others. There's accusation in our own minds and hearts. And so one of the key things that gets in the way is when accusation of the enemy, even of our own hearts, creeps into that sacred space on the inside, what the Bible refers to as the garden, the interior life of the heart of the believer, the garden that we're supposed to guard and keep. And that place of the heart, you know, the proverb says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the wellsprings of life. And so that accusation can lead us to draw back and to grow weary and to feel, you know, maybe I misunderstood, or maybe I tried that and it didn't work. And so I'm just going to settle back into a place of a little less wholeheartedness. And we draw back in despair, but rather we have to keep that garden with all diligence and zeal. And so I think the accuser is so huge. Sometimes we dismiss it, but we can't. We have to be on guard and fighting that accusation with the truth of Jesus's delight over us, his pleasure over us, his enjoyment over us. That's what began first love, and that's what's going to keep first love to the end.
There's a phrase that we have where love is a verb, and you can tell a lot about someone's love based off their behavior. Does fasting play into this somehow?
Absolutely. I think fasting is one of the greatest gifts that we forget we have available. But here's the key. Fasting is to be motivated by the lovesick heart. We don't want to fast to try to earn something. That's worthless. We want to fast because our hearts are prone towards dullness and coldness. But the Lord is the all-consuming fire. And so I picture fasting like we are coming up closer to that fire, going, Lord, I want to feel your love. I want to know your love. I want to see your love. And I'm not okay that my heart is dull. I'm not okay that my heart is cold. So I yearn for you. And out of that yearning, I set aside other things. You know, first, food. If the Lord would give you grace, ask for grace to actually fast food. That's the biblical definition. And obviously, there's always nuance, and there's people that can't do that for medical reasons and all of that. I love those qualifiers. qualifiers are important. But if the Lord will give you grace, fasting, food, and then also it's our time, it's our schedule, it's our finances. Mm. We have to make capacity for more of God. If we don't make capacity, we don't have any room. And the Lord might say, I want to come to you, but there's no room. You've filled your life with all the other things. I want to be the superior pleasure of your life, but you have to make room. Fasting is the outward expression that makes room for the interior rewards and delight and treasure that the Lord wants to give us.
There are so many moments that we can come to God in prayer, and it could be over a sick loved one. We just came through COVID. Maybe some of us lost family members. Maybe there are different things that we have that are health-related, financial-related. We come to God in earnest faith, but sometimes it doesn't turn out the way that we pray. And sometimes that can lead us to offense, or maybe being a little bit cynic, or becoming a little bit bitter. How do we navigate that part in relational pain with Christ?
I think our view of God is central. And one of the things that has been an anchor for me, like nothing else, is understanding He is leading me according to love. There's a verse in Song of Solomon, your banner over me is love. And to know that no matter what comes, no matter the circumstance, the heartache, the twists and turns that we don't foresee, there is a banner over my life, and Jesus is leading me. He's the great shepherd of my soul. He's leading me according to love. In other words, He has my good in mind, and He's going to bring me into the fullness of love if I say yes to Him. And so even when it feels like He's neglected, He's forgotten, or even worse, that He's cruel and He's allowed these terrible things with a heart that's cruel, I have to fight my way back into the truth about who He is. No, God, You are good. You have my good in mind. You're bringing the entire body of Christ forth as a church, prepared and made ready for the Lamb of God, for that wedding supper of the Lamb. Today, You're leading me forth in love. And so I say to You, I'm not offended. I say yes to Your leadership. I trust You. I don't understand, but I trust You. And that heart posture, believing His heart is good and He's leading us according to love, is so important when we don't understand the twists and turns and the circumstances that are so painful.
You know, the thing I think is so intriguing about this interview and sitting down with you is your conviction. You speak with fire. You've been through it. Is there ever a moment when you kind of get a little bit like, oh, you know, you get hit a certain way? What is your key catalyst? What always brings you back of center? Because it sounds like you never have a bad day.
That's
a compliment. Is there one main go-to that we can kind of express? Just like, listen, when things like this happen, go here and it'll snap you back.
You know, I'm going to get super practical. Yes, and it's not just occasional. I mean, again, we've got a real adversary, and he really wants to take us out, especially in the secret place of our hearts. And so here's practical, very practical. Take the word of God. When you're in that place and your heart is broken, or even just in a fog, when you're under it, take the word of God, specifically the passages that speak of His love, His delight, His enjoyment over you, and sing. I'm not kidding. Sing it. Sing phrase by phrase. And if you have to do it in your car because you're not a singer, that's okay. We actually were made to sing. Our hearts need to sing in order to feel what we believe. And so we take those small phrases from the Word of God, we turn them into prayer. So we turn that phrase. I'm going to use a phrase from the Song of Solomon 4:9. You've ravished my heart, my sister, my bride. That's the Lord speaking. And I turn that right into prayer, and I go, Jesus, Your word says that You are moved by me. I'm so weak. God, my heart's broken right now. But You said that if I lift my eyes and lift my prayer and my voice and my song, that You are ravished over me, that You're so moved. God, I don't even understand it. But God, help my unbelief right now. I love You. I believe You. I trust You. And again, sing those phrases, sing that conversation. That will get your heart into the way of truth and out of the place of heaviness and accusation. faster than anything I could possibly tell you. It is my go-to. I say, babe, to my husband, I got to get in the car. I got to go for a drive. I'll be back later. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really what I do. And it is over and over and over again the way my heart comes back into alignment with Jesus.
See, that is why you wrote the book, because you're smart. That is unbelievable. Sing your prayer. What a cool idea. That is awesome. I don't think I've ever heard that before. Sing out your prayer.
Yeah.
And even if you have to invent a song, just run with it.
Oh, absolutely.
Huh.
Sing your own song. Turn it in. Actually, we're our favorite teachers. Out of our own hearts come some of the greatest things that help our hearts the most. So turn it into your own language. It's powerful.
Singing a prayer. I've never heard that before. That is so awesome. Dana Candler, the book is called First Love, Keeping Passion for Jesus in a World Growing Cold. Where do we find the book, and do we find you on social media? How do we follow you?
Yes, you can find it anywhere, every retailer, wherever books are sold. You can find it on Amazon, my website, danacandler.com. You can follow me on Instagram, Facebook, just Dana Candler. You'll find me.
How often do you fast?
Yes. That's a great question. I believe in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord invites us to a fasted lifestyle. So whether that's one day a week or 2 days a week, you know, different seasons. But again, what we have to be careful about with fasting is it is shark-infested waters in terms of the enemy wants us to do it for the sake of pride, spiritual pride. And that's just like, we don't even like to talk about the details in fasting so that we don't get into those shark-infested waters. Mm. But I would say, ask the Lord about a lifestyle. What does it look like? Not just to do a big fast here and there, or, you know, every so often, but rather, what does it look like in my week, Lord? Could I do a half day? Could I do a day? What would you give me grace for and desire for? And so I would say, ask the Lord about a lifestyle of fasting.
Interesting.
But again, add prayer, because if you're not praying, then you're just starving, and that's pointless. So prayer and fasting.
So it's a lot more than just scheduling it. I'll do this between, let's say, noon to midnight every Tuesday. Where would you lead me to fast this week? And then sticking with that, instead of you leading the schedule, he leads the schedule.
Yes. Ask him what he gives you grace for.
How long is fasting usually?
You could fast for a day, you could fast for 3 days, you could fast for 21 days. I mean, there's 40-day fasts. So there's all different kinds of fasting. What I'm encouraging you, there is a tenderness. You know, we call it the rewards of fasting. I have a book that I wrote with Mike Bickle called The Rewards of Fasting. And that's from the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus says, I will reward you. Those rewards are internal. Again, we're not earning it. It's just that when we move into that place of humility and vulnerability and weakness, our heart grow tender. The Holy Spirit causes the Word of God to be precious to us, and we see things we didn't see before. And so there are rewards, but that takes a minute. You want to fast at least a day before you start to kind of feel that weakness, because that physical weakness is kind of an escort into the strength of the Lord and the joy and the tenderness that we can find in fasting. But don't expect that the first week. Do it for some time and some months. Come back to me, and we can talk about it, you know, after you've done that, because the Lord actually meets you. You'll be surprised. And you will actually start to like fasting because you love that presence, that tenderness. Now, there's nothing like it. And so you actually start to like fasting, as crazy as that sounds.
Interesting. Yeah. Just dig deep, put an effort in, and just take a look and see what God won't do.
Yeah.
Understood. Well, Dana, it was so much fun having you on this morning. Again, where do we find you on social media?
Dana Candler on Instagram and Facebook. I'm there.
There you go. And the book is called First Love, Keeping Passion for Jesus in a World Growing Cold. And you can find that everywhere. Dana, thank you so much for spending the last half hour. We got so much out of this.
Thank you for having me.